upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. It's not brick and mortar that we're talking about. But the ideology is all shaped here around construction, as Brother Garcia mentioned earlier. Foundation's been laid. No other foundation can be laid than which has already been laid. The apostles and prophets, the words that were uttered through their mouths by the unction of the Spirit of God that was upon them, laid a foundation. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, which everything was built around, and built sure and secure. You do remember when the Lord spoke to Noah and said, build an ark. The Bible says Noah moved with fear and did what? And built an ark for what? For the saving of his own house. Do you remember the literal instruction of how many feet wide, how many feet long? One door. One window. I'll shut the door. Literal and specific. In the vagueness of the Old Testament, we read literal, specific direction and instruction from the Lord. And Noah moved with fear to the building of an ark for the saving of his own house. I remember when somebody approached me in my youth and said to me, are you saved? And I said, from what? I was being sarcastic. I knew what they were talking about. I don't even know that we hear that term much anymore. Because to say that you are saved might be saying somebody else ain't. Now that's become very unpopular terminology in the day and the hour that we're living in. I am pressed in my spirit to speak the truth, to teach and to compel others of a redemptive plan, specific and in the application of the blood that purchased me. See, we quote the scriptures, we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We have been redeemed. He purchased you. He purchased me. We are not our own. He purchased us through his blood. Was it the blood of God? Well, there had to be an incarnation of spirit into a vessel that could bleed. Scripture calls it, it calls it a holy thing. The angel of the Lord said, this holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Because it bled. He bled. Therefore, there could be a sacrifice given, made, a perpetual sacrifice, a once and final sacrifice. I am pressed in my spirit for, I'd like to say for our young people, but I'm going to say every one of us. I was driving on the way to church today, and I thought I would turn on the radio. So, 105.3. It was a nice little tune. I was kind of praying, waiting on the Lord, listening to this tune. And then that would have been fine. That would have been all good and well. But then the announcers came on. And they started spilling out their false doctrine. I'm sorry. And I hit the CD button. And I thought, well, here I am in my car, and I can choose and listen to this. But you know, there's a large population in the Seattle-Tacoma area that are listening to those announcers spread their doctrine. And I know that that has an effect on us when we give ear to that over and over. You know, we want to, oh, well, I want to hear some good songs. I want to hear some good Christian music. And then we, that stuff over and over, watered down, diluted, taken apart, just that. And so they were telling their little stories, you know, about everybody going to heaven. And I don't know why. Well, I think I do. Sometimes I think, you know, every time I get up, I feel like I'm saying the same stuff. And it's a message that doesn't leave my spirit because I feel like there's got to be a clear sound. You know, I was in the prayer room thinking about my pastor years ago and how I remember hearing people say, you know, there are other things in the Bible besides Acts 2:38. My pastor was an Acts 2:38 preacher. It would come out every Sunday, somehow, somewhere, on purpose. And I probably even gave ear to that statement a time or two. But you know what? There's something about the lateness of this hour that I feel pressed in my spirit. See, there's something about repetition. They're going to hear it again. They're going to hear it again. They're going to hear it again. Because I know that I draw back from my years of experiences of hearing my pastor make statements, saying things, quoting the Word of God. And I knew it. I knew what it said by what he quoted. Not before I knew where it was. Because it made an indelible imprint on me as a word of truth. If there is a redemptive plan in the Word of God, then this is the plan that the world should hear and know and understand and be believers of, that the blood of Christ would be applied to their life. So are you saved? Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there saving in any other, for there is no, I'm putting my words in here, you read, you get the right stuff here, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The scripture bears out that I can be saved. The scripture teaches me of a salvation plan. And it becomes adamant in using the word must that there is a name involved in my salvation. There is only one name. There's no other name. It's not a conglomerate of names. There's one name. And in the scripture, when it talks about salvation or me being saved, which it does right here, then I'm going to be reading everything before and after to find out, to define this for me. If there is going to become damnation upon this world, if the judgments of God are going to come upon this earth and upon the nations of the people that we walk among. Well, wait a minute. I want to be careful about how much I talk about what I'm supposed to be saved from, rather than what I am to be saved to. Now, I know fear is a motivator, and it's in the Word of God. And sometimes it's effective. We used to have some evangelists that would run around and scare people to death. Man, people would flood in the altars. Man, people, shoo, the buildings were filled to hear that. Scare me some more. Not me. But there's a certain amount of bringing reality into the picture to keep us in check of our ongoing time in life. Now, let's go to 2 Peter 3:21. These are very familiar, should be very familiar, quotable by everybody in the room for the most part. Oh, sorry. 1 Peter. Let's go to verse 20. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Now, we don't preach a doctrine of just get baptized and you'll be saved. What we teach is that through water baptism, in that only name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved, will apply the redemptive blood, which brings the redeeming value to me when I believe that. Yes. Oh, wait a minute. Now I used a different word. Let's see if we can tie those together. Mark 16:15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Pray with me. Pray with me. I pray the opening of the understanding of the lives of men, women, children, everywhere, Father, to see clearly in the Word of God your defined redemptive plan that washes me, that regenerates me. Jesus' name. It's God's plan. I would guess many here are familiar with the Old Testament application of blood through blood animal sacrifices. And the establishing of a tabernacle. It would be like today's temple, but a tabernacle where animals were killed. Their blood was then sprinkled on things. But then there was a laver of water where the priests must wash. Before they went into the holy place, it was in the holy place and the holiest of holies where the presence of God was manifest to the people of God. But most importantly, if you'll remember the plan, it was there that the manifestation of God over the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant between the wings of the cherubims, what we call the Shekinah glory of God, that when that happened, the priests would ring a bell, make some kind of a noise that was heard outside, and the people would shout unto God. Why? Because the Lord had accepted the sacrifice, and it was the redeeming plan for them to push their sin ahead that brought them into right standing and relationship with God. And that Old Testament tabernacle plan pushed us through time to a place called Calvary. And when a thief on a cross said to the other man on the other cross, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." A man needing salvation. A man needing to be saved. But his life was now being taken from him on a cross. Except, conveniently, there was a high priest hanging on the other cross. And he was making the once and final blood sacrifice that could redeem that man. I wish you young people would make a study of this. I wish you'd get into the Word and make a study of this. I feel pressed in my spirit and compelled to speak it over and over, and I feel like I'm just oftentimes repeating myself again and again and again, hoping it'll find a delible place. But I look back in my own life to realize it was when I started to teach Bible studies. It's when it became so imprinted upon my life that I didn't feel like, how could anybody ever separate this from me? Study it to tell somebody. Search it to tell somebody. We sometimes walk through life with this come see, come saw attitude. Well, whatever will be, you know, I got mine, but I'm not sure how they're going to get theirs. And we're thankful. I was sitting on this platform earlier thinking, I am grateful right now as I stand here for the organization of the United Pentecostal Church, the Apostolic Assemblies. There's others who through the years have sought to preserve this pure doctrine of redemption. In a muddied down world, in a radio listening society, disc jockeys pulling the doctrine apart. I pray that you make it your goal. I pray that you make it your purpose to study the plan of redemption in the scripture to the place of describing, of telling, of teaching. You know what we have slipped from? We have slipped from that to a place of, well, come visit our church. Because we thought the idea should be, well, we're trying to build a church. We're trying to build a bigger church. You know, it's that question. People come to you. You ought to see how it feels for me. Well, are you growing? And it's like, I'm doing my best not to slap you right now. You know, because that's the all-encompassing judgment call. If you're not growing, you're dying. And, you know, if your numbers aren't increasing, boy, if that's the tell-all-tell story. Let's pray again. We have a purpose. The ministry of reconciliation has been given unto us. We are a part of the building fitly framed together, that holy habitation unto God, which He is building. We have a responsibility to share the redemptive plan, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, and the Acts 2:38 message to apply the blood. Repentance and water baptism applies the blood. That puts me in right relationship for regeneration, for restoration through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't know it any other way. I watched a YouTube video last night. I don't know how I got there. It was, I'm trying to think of his name. Somebody had asked this other person. They were getting lots of questions, and they have some kind of a show. I don't remember if it was a radio or a TV show, but they have a show. And questions from Christians are being asked. You know, should we drink alcohol? Is it wrong for us to drink alcohol and be Christians? Okay. And this preacher was responding to it and answering it very effectively with the Word of God. And he was saying, no, we shouldn't be. And she was, this other lady that he was talking to, was saying, I'm getting emails and calls from everywhere. It's like it has invaded the church. Partying, drinking lifestyle as born-again Christians. And this was going through my mind again as I'm sitting here on the platform. And I'm thinking, I remember the day sitting on that bar stool, drinking those tall neck Budweisers. I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't look for justification to go back to that lifestyle for nothing. Are you kidding me? I could have committed suicide a couple of times while I was under the influence. Believe me, the thoughts ran through my mind when I was 18, 19, 20 years old. Why would I seek for justification, to walk in a blood-bought, spirit-filled life, and to entertain living that life at the same time. I don't understand it. But I'm hearing justification in so many areas of our world to water down and pollute and dilute and take away from the redemptive message that brings me a purification process into my life. Man, we're not perfect. We're not completed except when we are in Him. And the show ain't over until we get there. Acts chapter 2, verse 36 through 40. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, because that's the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as the many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Wait a minute. Now the apostle is telling people to save themselves? How could he do that? How could they do that? Because a couple verses earlier, he had told them how they could do that. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Are you saved? You know what I would do? We wrestle with that. Well, I'm in a process. Well, that's true. So there is a saved posture. I am blood bought. I've been redeemed. Now, whether or not I'm walking in the Spirit, that's another question altogether. But that's the intended plan. That's what brings me into position of being a part of the building fitly framed together. The church that the Lord is building, but that we have a part of. That was good, Brother Garcia. Every one of us sitting here have family members, have close friends, have co-workers that we know that in your conversations you wrestle with, you grapple with, because you've been given stones. And when the verbiage and the terminologies become so, when it's concerning the kingdom of God, I pray that we all become pressed in the Spirit. Study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Nobody can do that for you. Just attending services and listening isn't going to do that for you. Studying to tell, studying to teach. Go back to the lunchroom tomorrow and tell them where and why and what. Persecution was one of the best things that happened to the church. And so we as individuals can't be afraid of being persecuted against, even when it's family, neighbors, or friends. Buy the truth. Sell it not. Stand. Stand for the truth of the Word of God. Remember the things that you have learned and who you learned them from, Paul said to Timothy. Acts chapter 16 and verse 27. Do you realize this is just my preliminary? I have 6 pages of notes that we're probably not going to get there. See, this was my path to getting there. Paul and Silas go to Philippi. If you remember the story, in the process, they cast the devil out of a young lady, spirit of divination, got in trouble over it, and they were thrown in jail. The inner prison. Man, I don't know what that must be. I guess that would be the solitary confinement. And after being whipped in stocks and bonds for doing the work of the Lord. You ever told somebody, you know, if you just get involved at the work of the Lord would bless you. Well, they were being blessed. They were being blessed. Of course, that didn't happen to them overnight. They had lots of warm-ups to that. They started worshiping God at midnight. There was an earthquake. The building was shook. Doors were all opened. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword. He would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Now think about this. This jailer, he knows it's his life for their life. And if they get out of that prison, this is what he thinks they've done. He's going to take his own life before somebody else does. Verse 28, but Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, we are 16 chapters. I don't know what the timeline is from Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 16. I got the idea there's a lot of time that's passed. You think the message has changed any? Well, if you go read Acts 2 and 8 and then 10, you'll see the consistency of the message over and over. Didn't matter who the people were. And there was one message. Turn from that old life. Turn to God. Be baptized by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then each of them received the Holy Ghost. Remember when Philip went to Samaria and began to minister to them, and God was moving among the people, and they were responding, and devils were being cast out, and all kinds of things that were going on. But they hadn't received the Holy Ghost. They just had been baptized. Isn't it interesting that they just didn't say, man, this is great. We're having a move of God. There's no sense going any further from here. This is the evidence. You know, Benny Hinn must be right. Look at all the miracles that are taking place on his TV show. Is that the evidence? Whatever stuff, you know, is that the evidence? What's the evidence of an apostle? What is the evidence of a man of God? It's the word he declares. Tell them whatsoever I have told you, Jesus said. And we're living in a world that's caught up in sensationalism. And then we look at our own scenario and we say, man, how come we don't have any more healings around here than we do? As somehow that's a disqualifier of us and what we do and what we speak and teach. Nobody else wrestles with that? Nobody else wonders about that? How many in this room have seen with your eyes a supernatural grow it out miracle right before your eyes? You know, they were blind and now they see. They were deaf and now they hear. How many in the room have personally seen that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Is this something you see every week? Every month? Every year? I've only seen one in my 55 years. That doesn't disqualify for me the things that I read in this word, nor the gospel that I share and declare everywhere I go and every chance the Lord gives me with any individual. I feel like I'm just silencing some little impish voices that have taunted, haunted, have provoked you by the truth and sell it not. This is God's redemptive plan. Study to show yourself approved. Study the word for yourself. XO. Okay, jailer. What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now, I've driven across the country and seen little white signs, black letters, nailed to a tree up really high so you couldn't tear it down, that said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So all the passersby can see that and receive that message. Guessing by the disc jockeys of 105.3, that would simply be to make an acknowledgement. So it would be the safest thing for these people, these jailers, because their lives are at stake now. If these prisoners get out, you know, I'm glad you're all still in the prison there. Let's just close that door. Let's put that lock back on there. Okay, now I'm going to make an acknowledgement. And trust the Lord. Well, let's see what verse 32 says. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. Oh, what is that? Well, if we study and go back and read, we'll see they were always saying the same thing. Verse 33. And he took them under threat of life. I'm not kidding. He took him away from the prison that night. He was at his house, where even if his house was adjoined to the prison, he took them away. Took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. I'm guessing that they didn't probably have a baptistry in the prison. Why would he do that in the middle of the night? If that's just an outward sign of my faith towards God, or is it the application? Of the blood of a spotless lamb. That once and final sacrifice that night for them. I don't know what happened to you when you got baptized. I don't know if you were just wanting to put something on Facebook. I don't know. But when that blood touched me, it brought hope. Verse 34. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Isn't it amazing what the Lord will do? And put people through to get them to just one family. You wonder what it's going to be like. You know, I wonder if it's going to be possible that when we get there, that he could just sit down and say, here, watch this monitor. I'm guessing there probably won't be any monitors. And he allows us to see the orchestration, things that played out around us, that were moving us, nudging us one direction, then another, then putting us, contacting, linking us to somebody. Now, get this. His family didn't have a clue what was going on. They just happened to be related. They had a dad. I don't know what was going on in Dad's heart. Something was happening in Dad's heart. The jailer of the prison. That the Lord would bring an earthquake. Do you think that was to get those guys out of prison? Come on, he can do that with angels. Come on, shh, open the door. He made it all play out so he could bring salvation to a household. Oh, what are the things that he has done for us in our lives to bring a redemptive plan that the blood of Christ would be applied to each believer. And to become a torch in a vessel to carry that plan to somebody else. Building the building. Fitly framed together. Around what? Nails of doctrine. Concrete and mortar of doctrine. Foundation of words. 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 Be careful before you tell somebody you talk too much. Just get them saying the right things. Somebody told me, some come visit their house, and man, they were talking nonstop. They say when the guy went into the, he'd talk with the door closed. Hey, you know, he'd keep the conversation going. But they said, But he'd won like 30 people to God. Yeah, be careful before you tell somebody, yeah, you talk too much. Let him go, man. Just give him the right stuff. That was just out of the blue. I don't know where that came from. Study. Know why you believe what you believe. Don't get it off the squawk box. Don't get it off of TBN. Don't get it off of 105.3. Get it out of this thing right here. Get it out of here for yourself. Wrinkle those pages. Get some ink on them. Follow the chain reference. I'm falling back in love with my Thompson chain. I got my own chain reference. His was incomplete. Okay. We've had fun. Let's stand. I'd like for the musicians to come. I suppose from the Lord's perspective, he doesn't feel threatened. I would suspect. He is not threatened by this world. When I see the gospel under attack, when I see the gospel and hear the gospel under attack, I feel like I got to rush to its defense. I'm sure the Lord probably doesn't feel that way. He's not threatened by anything. And I don't know why it is, but I just feel like I've got to rush to the defense. I've got to declare it again. I've got to say it again. I've got to read it again. I'm going to share it again. I'm going to share it with somebody. Let it become more ingrained in me. In Acts, the fourth chapter, just a minute, Nathan. In the third chapter of Acts, if you remember, they were going to the temple for prayer. The lame man had been there 40 years, or he'd been lame 40 years, but they would lay him at the gate, and you know, they passed by and they had that little encounter, and spontaneously, quickened by the Spirit, they said, silver and gold, such as I don't have, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And was healed. And then we see the fourth chapter of all the religious world coming against them and the things that they were speaking and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. I found it so interesting, and this is where I thought I was going to spend time today. I find it so interesting that those religious people, what was so, something bothers me about the fact that it was all the priest's family. And it said all those who were related to the high priest. And they took those apostles and pulled them aside and threatened them and because they spoke the name of Jesus Christ. Peter's communication to them was not, gee, you know, you all should be able to believe in the Lord and you'll be saved. He really rebuked them for what they had done. But then there was this ongoing attempt to silence them from using the name of Jesus Christ. I sense that in our world today. Attempts to convolute and to squelch and suppress pure doctrine. Speaking it, teaching it, telling it. And this barrage against what we're calling conservatism. We didn't even call it Christianity anymore. We just call it conservative thought. That there should be an acceptance of everything in this world. And it's got believers questioning their own stand when they have always stood on the Word of God. Praise God. If you wouldn't mind, I don't know what's on your mind or your heart right now. I would like to open the altar. I would like that you would take a moment. I don't know what it is about stepping out of my seat and making an acknowledgement. You're not acknowledging anything to me. But whatever it is that you feel to do or to acknowledge to the Lord and communicate to Him right now, would you come?